Radio Prague News.
The Office for Personal Data Protection has issued a statement saying that ACTA was unbalanced regarding existing legal guarantees of individual rights. Debate on a church restitution bill in the lower house appears likely to continue into the early hours of Wednesday. Fresh snowfall has continued to complicate the situation on Czech roads. The Office for Personal Data Protection in the Czech Republic has issued a statement on its website saying that ACTA, the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement, was unbalanced regarding existing legal guarantees of individual rights. In the view of the office, the agreement determined new powers, including repressive tools, in unclear terms. One reason why the Bureau will continue to monitor the issue. On Monday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said the government will suspend ratification of the anti-counterfeiting trade agreement. Responding to a wave of protests in the Czech Republic and elsewhere, the Prime Minister said that the government would not allow a situation where civic freedoms and free access to information would be threatened. The Chamber of Deputies resumed debate on planned church restitution on Tuesday, with coalition MPs voting to allow the session to last well past midnight. The ruling coalition pushed through the extended session in reaction to a promised series of speeches by the leftist opposition. The senior opposition Social Democrats announced earlier they would not curb contributions to the debate in any way. The party's deputies group chairman Jeroným Tejc said the bill on church property restitution required extraordinary debate during a period of economic crisis. If the bill is approved, 17 Czech churches and religious societies will receive 56% of the physical property that was confiscated by the communist regime in the 1950s. That's worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, the churches would receive 59 billion crowns over a period of 30 years. The leftist opposition has challenged both the volume of the property to be returned and the compensation sum. Fresh snowfall and freezing temperatures have continued to complicate conditions on Czech roads. Tuesday morning saw an eight-car pileup on the D1 highway between Brno and Ostrava, in which two people suffered light injuries. Ostrava has seen daytime temperatures of minus 15 degrees Celsius. Problems were also reported on the D1 between Brno and the Czech capital. Five cars were involved in a crash near Benešov, in which two people were also hurt. Motorists have been advised to exercise caution. Arctic conditions in the Czech Republic are expected to last for another 2 weeks. The newly established Otakar Motel Fund, named after the country's popular first ombudsman who died in 2010, will finance a number of projects this year in the battle against corruption, the fund's Jiří Knittel has told reporters. 6.5 million crowns are to be allocated among different groups. Of that, 2.6 million is to be divided among five NGOs, including the Czech branch of Transparency International. Small associations pushing for local town halls to provide the public with relevant information may seek contributions from another 1.3 million. The fund will also reportedly sponsor the Environmental Law Service, the Revival Group, and the Human Rights League, he said. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's all the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. In today's show, with the Eurozone in crisis, the Czech government is attempting to increase the size of non-euro-dependent exports. More in a moment. Also, we talk to two US hockey players plying their trade here for Sparta Prague. And in this week's Czechs in History, we focus on the man credited with writing the soundtrack for the 1960s Prague Spring, Petr Novák. Please don't go away. The Czech government on Monday unveiled a new export strategy that is to help Czech exporters find new, fast-developing markets. The move aims to boost the country's economic stability amidst the deepening debt crisis in the Eurozone. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Despite gloomy economic forecasts all round, figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Friday show that Czech exporters have been doing exceptionally well. The country's foreign trade posted a surplus of 191.4 billion crowns in 2011, the highest on records. Exports grew by 13.2% in a year-on-year comparison. This is good news for the country's export-dependent economy, but there is a fly in the ointment. 83% of all exports are bound for EU countries, and 53% are made up of car exports, machines and machinery tools. There are fears that problems in the eurozone may result in a steep drop in demand and impact the Czech economy. Consequently, diversification is now the operative word, and the government has outlined a six-point strategy to help Czech producers gain a foothold on new, fast-developing markets. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas outlined them at Monday's press briefing.
Chceme udržet tempo našeho vývozu.
Our main aim is to maintain the pace of exports, which is the driving force behind our economy and helps create new jobs. Secondly, we want to reduce our export dependence on the EU and increase exports to non-European destinations. We want to create conditions for the growth of new firms offering goods for which there is interest abroad. We want to offer quality export services, cut back on export-related red tape, and give our exporters more competitive export credit insurance.
In its strategy, the Czech Trade and Industry Ministry has outlined 12 potentially promising areas in 28 countries, among them China, Brazil, India, Russia, Iraq and Kazakhstan, where it believes Czech exporters could gain a foothold and eventually establish a strong presence. Trade Minister Martin Kuba says his ministry and the entire government will do their utmost to assist them in this process. Helping Czech exporters tap existing potential has become one of the cabinet's top priorities.
The country's economic diplomacy in these countries has not been very strong in the past, and our exporters have missed out on emerging opportunities. The ministry wants to increase its trade representation from the 37 missions we now have to around 70. And in cooperation with the Czech Business Chamber, we want to staff these missions with people who are acquainted with the given country, know its potential, and have contacts. We want them to create an effective network through which Czech exporters will be alerted to emerging business opportunities and will get fast and effective information. This is decisive for good business and of essential importance in seeking new markets.
The Association of Czech Exporters has welcomed the move, but its head, Jiří Grund, says that for the present time, it is little more than a good resolve. Like many others, he's waiting to see it implemented in practice.
Happy, yeah, we're happy, but is the necessary to realize the support of the Czech government to reality? Is the necessary to make step number two? Up to now, it's not enough. It's only many discussion in the newspaper, many discussions on TV, but the reality is very difficult.
Mr. Grund warns that diversifying the country's export interests and establishing Czech firms on new markets is a long-term goal, and warns that above all, Czech exporters must not abandon their hard-won positions in Europe.
Daniela Lazarová with that story about Czech exports. Moving on, American hockey players Troy Millam and Alex Foster are halfway through a year-long contract with Sparta Prague, currently top of the Czech Extraliga. Well, after a recent important win over their major rivals, HC Plzeň, reporters Lothar Martin and Lena Drummer from Radio Prague's German section met up with the players and asked what they attributed Sparta's success to.
It was kind of tough for myself early on, you know, just to try and figure out the league and the type of hockey that we play. But, you know, we have some great players, obviously, Peter Tone and Peter Tankrat, and then our goalie, Tomas Pepperly, is playing awesome. So, you know, it's just, I think, the really high talent level of the individuals that come together and we mesh well and things are going well for us. Hopefully it just continue that way.
Yeah, just to add to that, I feel like we have a great mix. Like Troy said, we have those top guys, Tone and Tankrad, but also, like you saw in tonight's game, our so-called fourth line scored a couple goals and played really well. So I feel like whether it's our first line or our fourth line, we have a lot of guys that can do the job.
Do you like Sparta's style of playing? What kind of role did your trainer Jandač give you in the team? How content are you with yourself and with this role?
Yeah, my role was a two-way centerman to play good defense, and if I can chip in with some offense, that would be great. I feel I've done a good job this year, and I think they like me. I'm okay with that role. That's kind of where I've been in my entire pro career, so I'm used to it. So I like the style of play. It's fast, and you know there's some hitting, but a lot of skill and fast, and it's exciting to watch.
Let's see. Coming in, I think my role was to be kind of an offensive defenseman. But, you know, I think my goal is just to be a situational guy where, you know, whether it be a power play or a penalty kill or the last 2 minutes of a game, that the coaches have the confidence to put me on the ice, and that's kind of what I want to do for the team.
So do your friends and families in the U.S. track your achievements here? Or how is their feedback?
Every time I go somewhere new, you know, there's an adjustment period for trying to figure out the website. But, you know, my mom was able to figure out how to watch games now, and it's a six-hour time difference. So if there's a chance that she can catch it, you know, online, then she watches the games, and some other guys check some stats. And I appreciate any sort of looking from back home because I know it's tough.
Yeah, my whole family is a pretty big hockey family, so my dad gets excited when I play, and my brother-in-law plays in Pardubice, so he's checking their score, our score, and my uncle played as well, so my whole family, extended family, always likes to try to keep an eye on me and see how I'm doing, and we Skype, you know, daily with somebody from back home to say hi and let them know how things are going, so it's good.
And Troy, you signed a one-year contract. What kind of plans do you have? Could you imagine staying longer in the Sparta team?
I could definitely imagine. As of right now, I don't have any plans. And it's kind of been the last four or five seasons have only been one-year contracts. And then, you know, I've never really had the opportunity to go back to the same team. And that's definitely something after the type of year that we hopefully have. You know, I wouldn't be looking to go anywhere else.
So, Alex, if you go back to the U.S. one day, what would you like to take with you from Prague? Is there anything you particularly like here?
Actually, I mean, I didn't expect it, but I really like a lot of the Czech food. Once a week, we get a meal brought into the rink for us, and I feel like every week it's different. There's duck, there's dumplings, there's the spinach paste, and all of it I really enjoy. So I don't know how I would be able to bring it home, but I really like the Czech food, actually, so that's nice.
Yeah, I think that if I had some family and some friends eat some beef tartare from back home, that's something that would be surprising for them. And then, you know, the Czechs are so proud of their beer, so if I could sneak some beer or some absinthe out of here, and it would be pretty fun for my friends back home, I think.
Radio Prague's German section there in conversation with the American hockey players Troy Millam and Alex Foster. You're tuned to Radio Prague, and in this week's Czechs in History, we focus on the man credited with writing the soundtrack for the 1960s Prague Spring, Petr Novák.
Povídej, jestli tě má hodně rád víc než já. Jestli když večer jdeš spát, ti polibek dá, tak jako já, to už je dál.
The unmistakable sound of Petr Novák, a singer whose delicate tenor voice is synonymous with Czechoslovak society of the late 1960s. This talented musician shot to fame in this country at the time of the Prague Spring, when his gentle love songs, influenced by Western pop groups like the Beatles, were hugely popular among young Czechs. His success during this era, however, proved to be short-lived, and his career subsequently stagnated under the influence of communist repression and his own problems with alcohol. Petr Novák was born in Prague in 1945, and began playing the piano at just 6 years of age. When he was growing up, he had initially wanted to be an actor, but music increasingly had an influence on the direction his life was taking. especially after he first heard the Beatles in the early 1960s. The lively, Merseybeat sound of the Fab Four had a profound effect on the young Petr Novak. He started a band with some friends, and for a while they actually even called themselves the Beatles. The group later changed their name to George and Beethoven's, but their Liverpool-influenced sound remained. Zavři pusu, ať spát, vždyť už bude brzo den, nech si o mě něco zdát, ať je krásný ten můj sen, já budu chodit po špičkách. The band surprised everyone with this song, Ja budu chodit po špičkách, or I Will Walk on Tippy Toes, which they recorded themselves in a basement. Despite the obviously bad sound quality, this track was a huge hit, and stayed on the chart for a year and a half. Unfortunately, George and Beethoven's didn't have much time to capitalise on their success. The band were forced to split up shortly afterwards, because some members had to do their compulsory military service. Nevertheless, Petr Novak's star continued to rise. He joined another band, Flamenco, and had a couple of hits with them before reforming George and Beethoven's once the band's members returned from the army. Most of the songs for both groups were written by Novak with his childhood friend and lyricist Ivo Plitzka. They primarily specialised in wistful, western-sounding love songs, which struck a chord with young Czechs and Slovaks, enthused by the relaxed political and social atmosphere of the Prague Spring. Veteran Czech rock critic Wojciech Lindauer is old enough to remember the impact of Petr Novak's music at the time.
Petr Novak was the first romantic singer in Czech Republic. You know, probably he was a voice of Prague Spring, and he was something like speaker of generation of late 60s. He looked like that because he had a long hair. And he had a look, he looked a little bit, he looked like John Lennon, you know, with the large nose and so, and he was great. Obchod se štítem,
domy rozbité. Petr Novak and his band went on to enjoy a string of hits. The country's youth warmed to his Beatles-esque music, which chimed in perfectly with the atmosphere of that era. One could almost say he provided the soundtrack to the Prague Spring. Unfortunately, Petr Novak's popularity during this period was to reflect badly on him once Warsaw Pact tanks invaded in 1968. Although he was never officially banned, concert promoters were encouraged not to hire this singer, who had been so popular in the period leading up to the Soviet invasion. Novak's career nosedived even further when he declared a minute's silence for Jan Palach at a gig in Bratislava after the student had set himself on fire in protest at the reintroduction of hardline communist rule in 1969. Even if he hadn't made this political protest, it was hardly surprising that Novak would be frowned upon by the new regime. His Western-style music was also matched by a wild, heavy-drinking lifestyle not unlike that of many American and British rock stars. Wojciech Lindauer says that this is something that a lot of communist functionaries would have found hard to stomach.
His nickname was Barrel, you know what I mean, because he liked alcohol very, very much. And the way of life, it was something what wasn't acceptable for establishment and for times that were called normalization. I remember the last concert of him and George and Beethoven's, it was his group. I saw it in 1972, I think, and it was the end of one era.
George and Beethoven's split up shortly after this concert, primarily because they couldn't get any work. Petr Novak tried to carry on, but was soon reduced to going around clubs with his guitar looking for gigs. This period was also marked by increasing problems with alcohol. He had always been fond of a drink, and his ability to party at the height of his fame in the 1960s was legendary. In the 1970s, however, his drinking habit rapidly descended into alcoholism. Wojciech Lindauer believes that the repressive nature of the normalization era may have had as much to do with this deterioration as any self-destructive hedonism on Novak's part.
He was an alcoholic, but what could you do in early 70s in Czechoslovakia? if you were a singer, or if you loved the Beatles, or if you loved all the things that you couldn't do it here, you know, that was the reason probably.
Je ti míň než hezké ženě krásce, je ti víc než klukům se zdá.
Although Petr Novák continued to write and record music until his death, he never reached the heights of his 1960s heyday. This was partly because his long-term collaborator Ivo Plicka fled the country in the late 1970s, which affected the quality of Novák's output. But after years of heavy drinking, Novák's health was also in disarray, and Wojciech Lindauer believes that this too played a major role in his failure to recapture former glories.
The records or the albums he made in 80s or 90s, my God, it was a disaster. It was really a disaster, you know. It wasn't a pleasure for me to write about that, but I had to do it. I had to write that the songs are very poor, and the lyrics are awful, and so, and also his vocal wasn't as a glittering tenor. He was very tired. He was very tired and very unhappy, and I think he was also very ill, really, really ill, sick. His soul was sick.
Despite the fact that there was much goodwill towards Petr Novák after the Velvet Revolution, he was much too ill by then to launch a sustained effort to re-establish himself, even if the concerts he did manage to perform were well attended. Years of excess and disappointment eventually caught up with him when he died of a massive heart attack at just 51 years of age in 1997. It was a sad end to a career that had started so brightly. Wojciech Lindauer, however, says most Czechs prefer not to dwell on Novák's difficulties in later life. Instead, they remember the dashing young singer who burst onto the Czechoslovak music scene in the late 1960s and who will be forever associated with the hope and optimism of that era.
Well, he was a troubadour. He was the first rock and roll troubadour in Czech Republic, and he will be remembered like that.
Když půjdeš po cestě, kde růže vadnou, kde rostou stromy, bez listí. Tak dojdeš na místo, kde tví slzy spadnou na hrob, co nikdo nečistí.
The music of Petr Novák there, ending Czech history, which was broadcast for the first time in 2006. We're not quite out of time here on Radio Prague. We've still got ABC of Czech, and it's presented by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome again to the ABC of Czech. Today we're staying with the letter T and the topic of transport, as a lot still remains to be said about it. Last time we talked about city transportation, buses, trams and the metro, and we also mentioned trains. Just to recap, the word for train is
vlak.
The first railway on Czech territory was built in 1839, connecting the Austrian capital Vienna and the Moravian city of Brno. Of course, those first trains were drawn by steam engines.
Parní lokomotiva.
Those days are over now, but if you are interested, you can still take a ride in one of the historic trains, because Czech railways organise nostalgic rides around Prague for children and tourists. At a railway station,
nádraží,
you can choose which train suits you best. For short distances, you may prefer a slow or stopping train.
Osobní vlak.
In colloquial use,
osobák.
But if you want to travel to a more distant place and get there fast, you'll choose a fast train.
Rychlík.
Railways nowadays have some tough competition, coaches, as they are often faster and cheaper than trains. Czech uses the same word for both coaches and buses.
Autobus.
If you need to travel even further and even faster, you will opt for an airplane.
Letadlo.
This Czech word comes from the verb
letat,
to fly. And so does the word
letiště,
which means airport. As a landlocked country with only a few dozen kilometers of navigable waterways, the Czech Republic hasn't really got much shipping traffic or
lodní doprava
to speak of. But anyway, the word for ship is
loď.
And on the Vltava, there are a lot of cruising steamboats.
Parník.
Very popular with foreign tourists. We will close the program with the most familiar of all means of transport, the car. Czech has no domestic word for the car. It borrowed the Greek-Latin hybrid
automobil,
or automobile, known perhaps to most languages of the world. The word is usually used in its shortened form,
auto.
And if you really like your cute little car, you can use the affectionate diminutive
autíčko.
Or if you drive a big fancy car, you'll call it
auták,
or even
bourák
in slang. And that's it for today, but we'll be back next with the letter U and urban life. Bye-bye.
Naschledanou.
ABC of Czech there, presented by Pavlo Horáková, which brings us to the end of this program for today. You can get in touch by email, of course. It is english@radio.cz. Please do contact us here. So from me, Peter Smith, on a snowy, wintry day here in the Czech capital, until next time, bye-bye.